enjoyed our time off. Last Sunday, I got up early and went down the street to a church that I go to when we go to the beach. I always go to this church. And you know what I found out about this church? I found out that the same Holy Spirit that's here is down there too. Oh man, I go in and I'm not feeling real spiritual, and there's about 500 people in there, and we go in and we have communion, and I'm feeling better already. They start singing those praise and worship songs, and I'm feeling real good. And that running spirit came upon me, and I'm looking around, and I'm wanting to run, and my 62-year-old knees won't let me do what my 20-year-old mind wants me to do. Amen. Somebody said, you know, the good part about getting old, there ain't nothing. There's nothing good about it. You got to be tough to get old. Amen. Saying all that to say this, one of these days I'm going to have me a brand new body. And I'm going to get to run, and I'm going to get to jump like my 20-year-old mind wants me to. And I'm going to enjoy the Lord. Amen. We're so glad that you're here this morning. I want you to pray for me. I'm going to try not to keep you too long. That's the key word, too long. I'll try not to keep you too long. But like I said, when I'm gone on vacation, it messes my schedule up, and I get all, I've got a routine that I go through, and I do every day, and it's my routine with the Lord, and my study, and my praise, and my worship, and when I go on vacation, I get all messed up sometimes. Amen? But how many of you know that God's such an awesome God? He's such a loving God. Such an understanding God. So let be all right this morning if I preach to myself. Amen? If you want to set in on this message while I preach to myself, if you've got your Bibles, turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 12. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. I want you to pray real hard that God will let us. I got up yesterday morning, I began to study, and I was empty, and I began to get my Bible and flip through it, and I feel like this is the way the Lord led me to these verses of Scripture. And I got up early again this morning, I was trying to put into order maybe how the Lord would have me to minister this word to myself, and I won't have time to dig into all that's in these verses of Scripture in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 1 through 9. But I wrote down a couple of thoughts that I want to share with you this morning. I feel like that God is speaking to me, and God is speaking to some other people about some things in our life. And if you'll turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 12, open your Bible, turn it on, whatever you do. We'll get started in the Word of God. The Bible says, "It is not expedient for me, doubtless, to glory. I will come to vision and revelations of the Lord. I knew a man in Christ about 14 years ago. Whether in the body I cannot tell, or whether out of the body I cannot tell. God knoweth such an one caught up into the third heaven. And I knew such a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell. God knoweth. How that he was caught up into paradise and heard unspeakable words, which is not lawful for a man to utter. Of such an one I will glory. Yet of myself I will not glory, but in my infirmities. For though I would desire to glory, I shall not be a fool. For I will say the truth, but now forbearing, lest any man should think of me above that which he seeth me to be, or that he heareth of me. And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelation, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord twice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, I will rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ might rest upon me. I'd like to use this thought this morning, tapping into the strength of God. Amen. How many of you know and realize that we've got this awesome power living on the inside of us? And it's up to us as God's people to tap in to this power that's available to you and me. Amen. But in our text here, as we read about, most scholars will agree that this is the Apostle Paul talking about himself, and most agree that it was at Lystra when Paul was stoned and left outside the city gates as dead that he received this revelation. The Bible said that he was caught up into the third heaven. Amen. He was stoned and left outside for dead, and God gave him this great revelation. I'm here to tell you this morning, if you're going through some things and you feel like you're suffering some persecution, maybe you feel like that you're being attacked from every side and the world's caving in upon you, I want you to take courage, because the Lord may be fixing to show you some things that you've never seen before in your life. Amen? This is Paul. This was Paul's case at Lystra. Paul had been preaching the gospel, and Paul got stoned and left for dead, and God called him up into the third heavens. And I won't spend a whole lot of time right there, but Paul was called up into the third heavens and showed things, Paul said, is unspeakable. I can't even put into words what God had showed me. So I want you to take courage this morning. If you feel like that you're being attacked from every side, be patient, because God may be fixing to show you some things. Amen? The beauty of obedience is that God expect, or what God expects you to do, He also enables you to do it. You just got to have a willing heart. Amen? Now, God is looking for a group of people that's willing. Just a willing heart is what God is looking for. And He'll do everything else for you. Amen? If you're willing, amen, He's able. The Bible said, the flesh is weak, but the spirit is willing. Amen? So the beauty of the obedience is God is enabling you to do what you need to do. In Luke chapter 24, Jesus appeared to His disciples after the resurrection and said, behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry you in the city of Jerusalem till you be endued with power from on high. Amen? See, up to this point, the disciples had a willing heart, but they didn't have the availability of the indwelling Spirit to equip them or strengthen them to accomplish what they couldn't do within themselves. Amen? But now they have this supernatural power living on inside of them that equips them to do things that they couldn't do before. How many of you are glad of the Holy Ghost? Amen? How many of you are glad that there's a power living on the inside of you that equip you to do things that you can't do within yourself? Amen? But now they have this supernatural power living on the inside of them. Now they have this divine ability to do exceedingly abundantly above all that is asked or think, that we could ask or think, according to the power that works in them. Amen? Jesus said, it's expedient for you that I go away. Because if I don't go away, the Comforter will not come. But I'm going away, and I'm going to send you another Comforter. I thought about this morning, Pastor, as I was reading these verses of Scripture. Have you ever been around these people, amen, and they're so confident in the Lord, it don't matter what comes their way, what's going on in their life, they're just at peace. Amen. They're just as happy as a hog in a mud puddle. Amen. No matter what comes in, what comes against them, they know that their strength is lying in the Lord, and all things work together for good to them that love the Lord, who they're called according to His purpose. Amen. So He said, I'm going away, and I'm going to send you this supernatural power that's going to live and abide and dwell on the inside of you. So that means that this power is available to you and me, but a lot of people are not tapping into God's strength. Amen? It's available, but we're not tapping. And I've used this illustration a lot of times. Now, I can have $1 million in the bank, Pastor, but if I never draw out of that account, it don't do me a bit of good. Amen. It's the same thing with the strength and the power of God. The power is available, but it's up to me to draw off of God's strength. Amen. See, the reason that a lot of people are not tapping into God's strength, and I'm preaching to myself this morning, the reason a lot of people are not tapping into God's strength is because they're placing too much confidence in the flesh. Amen. Now, if you're not real careful, when you begin to move in God and you begin to progress and God begins to use you and work in your life, if you're not real careful, you start to place too much confidence in the flesh. Can I tell you this morning, as long as you're living in this earth suit, as long as you're living in this body, this thing's going to give you some problems. Can anybody say amen? This thing is going to give you some problems. Now, real quick, let us look at three signs we're placing confidence in the flesh. Number one thing that we're placing too much confidence in the flesh, it won't happen to me. Proverbs 16 and 18 said, "Pride cometh before destruction, but a haughty spirit before the fall." Now, we look around us and we see other people's lives and we just see their struggles or whatever they might be going through. Amen. And we see people that's got problems and they got issues. Amen. And we look around and we see people are going through some things and we think, or if we think, that'll never happen to me. Amen. Then we're placing too much confidence in the flesh. Amen. Hallelujah. We look at our surroundings and see the struggles of people. Our first thought might be of shock. Well, how'd they ever get there? Amen? Now, we've had some situations going on around our life with people we know. And I've been real guilty of lashing out. And I've said some things that I shouldn't have said. Come on, now, I'm just going to be real honest with you. I'm just a human being. And sometimes I look at people's life and I'm thinking, my God, how in the world did they ever get there? Amen? But I got to be real careful, Matt, because I'm just one step away. I'm just one mistake away. I'm just one slip up away from maybe being in that same situation. So I got to be real careful not to say that it won't happen to me. Amen? Part of our guarding against the flesh is recognizing that this could absolutely happen to us. Amen? Because we're absolutely capable of ending up where other people is at. So don't never say that it won't happen to me, because it could happen to you. Amen? Now, we're going somewhere if you'll pray for me. Placing too much confidence in the flesh. Number two, we say, well, I'm too good for that. Oh, my goodness. Now, somebody has to clean the toilet. Amen? It's a principle of life. It's a principle at your home. It's a principle at the workplace. And it's a principle at the church. Somebody's got to clean the toilet. Now, you know my story, amen? And I'll share just a little bit with you. I worked the same job for 27 years. I had a good job, amen? And things were going great till one day they come told me I didn't have a job no longer. And I ended up on my knees cleaning toilets, amen? And I'm thinking, God, what have I done to end up here, amen? But how many of you know that somebody's got to clean toilets? Amen? The problem is that there's not really a lot of people that like to clean toilets. Now, there's a difference between not liking something and considering yourself above doing something. Amen? I don't like cleaning toilets. I'll be right up front with you. I don't like it. Amen? But I'm not too good to do it. Because I ended up there, and I was there, and I never will forget, Brother Matt, what I done. I was in there cleaning the toilet, and it wasn't a pretty sight, amen. I promise you that. And I looked out the door, and there was people out there working, and I thought to myself, why ain't they in here cleaning toilet? Why has it got to me? But how many of you know that God has got a plan, and God has got a purpose, so you can't consider yourself too good for anything? Amen. I don't know where you might end up at. that. I don't know if you'll end up back here in the nursery changing some dirty diapers. I don't know what might happen in your life. I don't know where you might end up. But if you'll consider yourself and not to, you don't have to like where you're at. Amen. You really don't have to like where you're at, but you've got to learn to be content and tell yourself, I'm not too good for this, but I know that God has got a plan, and I know that God is doing a work in my life, and God is fixing to move. I got the best job I've ever had in my life. Hallelujah. I've come a long way from cleaning toilets. Amen. But there's a difference between not liking something and considering yourself above doing something. And this is what we do. But this is how the flesh works. It piles up all our accomplishments, all our degrees, and we sit on top of our accomplishments and look down and realize somebody's got to clean some toilets. Amen? Paul said it like this, "For by the grace given unto me, I tell anyone among you not to think of himself more highly than he ought to." Amen? Now, I'm not saying that you shouldn't be confident. I'm not saying that you shouldn't be proud. I'm saying that you can't think of yourself more highly than you ought to. Amen? Now, we're going somewhere with that, so keep that in mind. Placing too much confidence in the flesh, number three. I can do it alone. Amen? Now, I said, when you place too much confidence in the flesh, you end up at this place. You end up saying, I can do this. Now, we know we like to quote that scripture, I can do all things, and the key word is through Christ which strengthens me. But when we're living after the flesh and placing too much confidence in the flesh, this is what we say. I can do this regardless. You can't do it. I've tried it. I've been there. I fell flat on my face. I know what I'm talking about. You can't get by on your own. This is what we done. Amen? This is what we done. We were strung out. We was messed up. Our life was upside down. And this is what we decided to do, Pastor. We decided we're going to quit and we're going to straighten up and we're going to do everything right. Amen? And we tried that and it worked about 2 or 3 days. Amen? And we was all messed up. But you know what you got to do? You've got to turn your life over to the Lord. Amen? Amen? And He'll straighten things out for you. You got to give it to Him. You can't make it on your own. Proverbs 27:6 says, faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. Now, we need each other. Amen? I don't know if you realize it or not, but you need me. You really do. You can get by without me, but you need me. And you know more than that, I need you. I need you to help me. I need you to encourage me. When I'm down, when I'm out, when I'm struggling, you've got to come by and you've got to tell me, hey man, this is an ongoing joke. Just trust in the Lord. Amen? And that is true. That is absolutely true. You've got to trust in the Lord. You've got to place all your confidence, all your hope, all your dreams, you've got to place them upon the Lord because you can't do it alone. So we need each other to tell us the truth and to help us towards godliness. We must remind each other that we together must place our whole confidence in the Lord and Him alone. Placing confidence in the flesh might end up counting yourself as righteous before God because of your conduct. Oh, my goodness. How many has been there? Man, I've lived right all week. I've done right. I hadn't messed up. I hadn't talked about nobody. Hadn't killed nobody. Hadn't done no dope. Man, I'm doing pretty good. Amen? But if we're not real careful, we end up thinking that our conduct has made us righteous before God. Amen? We really do. But if you're not real careful, this is where we end up. Now there's a fine line here. We should strive to live right. We should strive to do right and do everything that we can for the kingdom of God. That's not what makes us righteous in the eyes of God. The Bible said, for my righteousness are as filthy rags in the sight of God. But Jesus took His righteousness, I placed it in my account, and I draw off of His righteousness. Amen? Hallelujah. But Jesus imparted His righteousness into our account. And no weapon that is formed against me shall prosper. And every tongue that shall rise up against me in judgment, a God shall condemn. We love that verse of Scripture. Man, that's awesome. I use it all the time. And it's true and it's good. And use it on your defense. But sometimes we fail to read the rest of it. It says, this is the heritage of the servants of the Lord. Amen. That is your heritage. You own that. That has been passed down to you. No weapon formed against you shall prosper, and every tongue that shall rise up against you in judgment, a God shall condemn. Amen. Amen. Because the strength of God triumphs over everything else. Amen. The strength of God trumps everything else. The power of God that lives on the inside of you, that makes you capable, makes you adequate and efficient to accomplish what you need to accomplish. Amen? Now, the Apostle Paul had a problem dealing with the flesh. He said in Romans chapter 7, that I would do, I don't do. But that I don't want to do, that's what I do. Did you say that Paul had a problem with the flesh? Amen? How many would be real honest this morning and tell me, I got a problem with the flesh? I got a problem with the flesh. You know what? I have these thoughts. I have these emotions. I have these actions that I've got to deal with. I'm no different than nobody else. I'm no different than a lost man. I have these thoughts. I have these emotions. And I have these actions. Amen. But I've got to deal with it. I can't just let it run rapid. I just can't let it go and just cast off all restraint. I've got to deal with these things in my life. Amen. So these actions I have to deal with. And in our text in 2 Corinthians, the Bible said, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh. Now, there has been a lot of debate over what Paul's thorn in the flesh was. Now, some people say he had a terrible eye disease, and some people say he had a humpback, and some people said he had appendicitis, and some people say he was not eloquent of speech when he preached, and some people say he was lifted up in pride, and we have all these things, all these debates over what it was. But whatever it was, the Bible said it was a messenger of Satan. Amen? It was a messenger of Satan. The Bible said that it was sent to buffet him. See, the devil knows what buttons to push to mess you up. Amen? The devil knows exactly what buttons to push to get you off track and get you all messed up. Amen? Paul said, for this thing I besought the Lord twice that it might depart from me. The apostle knew it was the Lord allowing this, but he didn't understand why. Now, I'm going to say something that might shock some people. But did you know that God will allow Satan to do certain things to you? Amen? I don't know if I believe that or not. Well, go look at Job. The Bible told the devil, said, have you tried my servant Job? Have you tried him? And the Bible said that the God give the devil permission to attack Job. Sometimes in our life, God is doing a work in our life. Amen. And He allows Satan to do certain things in our life. Amen. The apostle knew it was the Lord, but didn't understand why. For the Bible said, what was meant for good or what was meant for evil, God used it for good. Amen. And a lot of times in our life, God allows things to happen. God allows things to come into our life. And the devil means it to be evil. God can take that thing and turn it around and mean it for good. Amen. And this is what was happening in Paul's life. Because Paul had a revelation and he was a pretty smart man. Amen. And he was doing a lot of great things for the kingdom. And he had seen this revelation. And God said there was a messenger of Satan sent to buffet me. Amen? To mess me up. Paul said, Lord, if you just take this thing away from me, I'd be a much better person. How many have prayed that prayer? Amen? Lord, if I just didn't have this problem, boy, I could do so much more good. If I just didn't have this issue, if I didn't have this old temper, right? I could do a lot better. If I didn't have these issues in my life, you know, I'd be a lot better Christian. I'd be a lot better preacher. I could do a lot of things a lot better. Amen? But God knows you better than you know yourself. Amen? Praise be unto God. Now, Paul said, if you would just take this. And Jesus said, I'm not going to take it away, but my grace is sufficient for thee. Now, grace is God's unmerited favor. He told Paul, he said, I'm not going to take this thorn in the flesh from you, but my grace is sufficient. Amen. And grace, as we know, is God's unmerited favor. Now, T.D. Jakes preached a message, a favor ain't fair. Amen? You're not here because you deserve to be here. You're not blessed because you deserve to be blessed. You're not saved because you deserve to be saved. You're all these things because of God's unmerited favor towards you. Amen? That's the reason that you're here. Grace. Jesus said, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Now, I'm going to tell you something. I want you to ask me about it after church. I got some problems. Oh, really? We didn't know that. I got some issues. You got some issues. You got some problems. But God's grace is sufficient, for His strength is made perfect in weakness. Amen? Now, we all are weak, but the Lord tends to make us weaker, with the intention being that we solely depend upon Him, thereby obtaining His strength. Am I making any sense at all? Because if God, in His all-knowing power, knows you better than you know yourself, He knows what you're capable of. No. My gosh, good and bad. He knows what you're capable of. So He makes us weaker with the intentions that we solely depend upon Him obtaining His strength. Now, 1 Corinthians 1:27, God has chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. God used the weak to baffle the high and mighty. Amen? He chose the weak things to confound the wise. In one place, the Bible said that not many strong are called. Not many wise, noble people. Amen? But God chooses the weak things to confound the wise. Ain't it amazing how that God works in people's lives? That He can take somebody out of a jail cell, and He can straighten them up and dust them off, put a Bible in their hand, amen, and they can do some awesome things for the kingdom of God. And it just blows people. Man, I can't believe that. That guy was in jail not too long ago. Amen. That guy was down on Skid Row. He was living under a bridge. But God can take the weak things of the world to confound the wise and make something mighty out of you. If you're sitting under the sound of my voice, or if you're hearing this over the radio or over the internet or whatever, and you're sitting there, you may be living under a bridge. You may be strung out on dope. You may have all kind of issues and all kind of problems. But there is a God in heaven that's able to take you and mold you and make you and shape you into something that's fit for the kingdom of God. Amen? Hallelujah. So He chose the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. Amen? Our God is such an awesome God. And He's such an amazing God. He does such amazing things. Amen? Have you ever considered this? Why that He chose David to fight the giant? Amen? Of all the people, He could have chosen. Oh, Eliab, he was sharp, man. He had all those medals, and he had that soldier suit. He had a shiny sword. He had all that stuff going on for him. His brothers and all these other people that was in the war. But God chose David, amen. Why? To confound the world, amen. They couldn't believe it. You know why David was so successful? He told the giant, he said, you come to me with a spear and a spear and a sword, but I come to you and the Lamb of the Lord. He was totally dependent upon the Lord. He told Saul, he said, this stuff don't fit me. This armor don't fit me. I've not tried it, but I've tried the Lord, and he works every time. And I'm going to go out, and I'm going to knock that giant on his butt because I'm totally dependent upon the Lord. And when we get to the place where we're totally, totally, totally dependent upon the Lord and place no confidence in the flesh, then you'll see the supernatural start to take place. Amen? Then Paul sums it up with this right here. He said, most gladly, therefore, would I rather glory in my infirmities. I admit, Steve, I got some problems. I got some issues. And you got your issues and you got your problems. But the difference between me and a lot of people is, I'm going to tell you I got problems. Amen? And Paul said, I choose to glory in my infirmities that the power of God may rest upon me. Amen? Now once again, there's a fine line here. Amen? You can't just, like I said, cast off all restraints and live wild and out of control. That's not what I'm saying at all. I'm saying as long as you're living in this, you're going to have some problems. Amen? But as long as you're totally confident in what God done and what God is going to do, you're going to be more than an overcomer. He said that the power of God may rest upon me. Now, how many of you sitting under the sound of my voice this morning needs the power of God operating in your life in a supernatural way? We're coming down to crunch time. Amen. We're coming down to the close of the age. We're coming down to where things are fixing to really get tough. If you hadn't realized this by now, you ain't been looking around. There's problems, there's issues, there's all kind of trouble on every hand, amen? And the enemy is coming in like a flood. And we need some people that are totally dependent upon the Lord that the supernatural power would begin to work in their life. Are you tapping in to the strength of God? Are you tapping in to the strength of God? Sister Rhonda, if you'll come to the piano, would it be too hard to get somebody to come up and sing, just come to the altar? I feel in my spirit this morning there's somebody here, and you've got some problems, and you've got some issues, and you don't know where to turn. You don't know what to do. But I'm here to tell you this morning, if you'll just trust God, first of all, you gotta trust God with eternity. Eternity's weighed in the balance. You're going to spend eternity at one of two places. You can either spend eternity separated from an all-loving, all-caring, almighty God, or you can spend eternity with Him, with the blessings of life and the goodness and the glory and the power of God. Amen? So the first thing that you need to do this morning is make a decision that I'm going to trust God. Totally trust God with eternity. If you've already made that move, then you've got to realize you've got to trust God with my life. I've got to trust God with my children. I've got to trust God with my finances. I've got to trust God in every area of my life. Because you know what, Steve? If I try to do it, I'm going to mess it up. And I'm going to mess some things up. But God is able to do whatever you need to do in your life. God is able to pick up all the broken pieces and put them all back together. And everyone be just exactly where they need to be. Amen? And it paints a beautiful picture of your life and the plans that God has for you. Let's stand to our feet all over the house this morning. If you feel like you need to come and pray, we want you to come down. We want to pray with you. We want to pray for you. If you feel like the Holy Spirit's been tugging at your heart this morning, we want you to pray. Is God speaking to you? Go ahead and sing.
Thank you. La 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 la